B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. Well, you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Get this off my pull playlist, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Hacked into your account. Now you have IT stuff in your house.
I opened my pool yesterday.
It Congratulations.
Was cold. Cool. Man, it's cold.
A little early.
Ooh. They gotta replace some stuff, so I had to do it.
When you say replace, you mean like in the water? They gotta go down in the water?
No, they gotta do the filtration system. So the pool cover, I helped them open the pool, so I'd take the pool cover off. Replace all the fittings and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Above groundwork.
So people came into your house?
Yeah.
Not like, hey, we're going to go down to the bottom fix the drain.
They're doing the pool house. Right. They're doing the pool house.
Got it. All right. We'll talk to Michael McCann coming up at 1:20.
Jim, you got to stop.
Michael McCann of SI.
Loth keeps always got these little snide comments. Everything. God. Corporate gym now.
There's this trend developing of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, these images or challenges, which Zoe has been very upset about.
The challenges bug me. I like these things, though.
You do like the pick three, though.
I like the pick three.
All right, so in the pick three, what you get most of the time is 9 things. I've seen some with 12. I don't know that that totally makes sense, but I like...
Like the other day, for example, this one actually, you get all the... 9 fast food joints.
Yeah, this one does make sense because it has 12 in it. So this one does make sense for the 12. Here's what it is. It says you can only keep 3 banners. And it starts with 2001 with the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. And it has every banner is here, right? They haven't missed any.
Yes.
I'm just double checking. They're all here. So it has all 4 Red Sox banners. It has all 6 Patriots banners and then the Celtics and Bruins banners from 2008 and 2011, respectively. So you can only keep 3 of the championships. You've got to get rid of the rest. If you can only keep 3, what are they? And I think right off the bat, there are 2 automatic ones for most people. And I would say those 2 automatics are 2001 and 2004. I think you cannot have a list without those 2 being on there. That is my thought.
That's funny. I go 04 Red Sox. I go 2011 Bruins. And I go 14 Patriots. Those are my 3.
So I think
this is where it gets really, really convoluted. Because if you don't pick 01 for the Patriots... then you could argue you don't have anything else.
Picked the rest. Right, I get it.
You know, like the whole Brady era could very well be done right there.
But in a vacuum.
Don't win the first one.
Yeah, but that 14 game was a freaking rock fight, man.
So which Patriots one did you take? 16?
14. Yeah, Seattle. 14.
Oh, 14, Seattle.
2014.
It's the best one out of all of them?
Yeah, that you're down double digits to that defense, and you're basically one-dimensional. I know you're one-dimensional against Atlanta. I don't have a lot of respect for the Falcons. I think they're a turd team. Seattle had it going on. They're coming off a championship from the year before. They were looking to go back-to-back.
Yeah, I could see that. I can understand that.
That game, that game was a rock fight. That was the best game I ever called, like being part of. That I'll never forget that one. Oh, what? I get it. It was a shocker.
I think what you end up picking reveals nothing more than what your favorite sports are. Like, there's no Bruins fan that would not include 2011. There are other people that would not include it.
It was a long time. Bruins, that was a drought. Red Sox was a drought.
I mean, for me, the Celtics one in 08 is tough to exclude because that was so much fun. Yes.
They won so much prior to that, though.
Yeah, but before my time. Age factors in, too.
Sure it does. This is generational, too.
Yeah, it definitely is generational. And this is only including the current run of championships. It doesn't include all that stuff from earlier. It doesn't include the 80s Celtics.
Right.
or any of those other previous teams. So, like, if I'm only picking three, I would be inclined to take multiple Patriots Super Bowls and the Red Sox in 04. That's what I would do. So I would take 01, I would take 04, and then I would probably end up settling on 2016 on the comeback over Atlanta. It's just one of the most insane things we've ever seen in sports. Not the best game, I'd agree with you. The better game
right. That
was
seems
Seattle
such a jack wagon of from a staff
just
standpoint,
in terms of
quarterback. Just
like complete insanity and emotional roller coaster, that would be 2016.
See, I picked 2016 too, and you have to forget about, you know, what may be there, what may not be there, depending on, you know, which one you take. The 04 Red Sox, I don't think anyone doesn't have that on their list. You got to have the 04 Red Sox.
Yeah, you're down 3-0. Yeah, that's in.
Boom. Yeah, I would take that. I would take the 16 Patriots Super Bowl, and I would take the Bruins Stanley Cup. I don't need the Celtics championship in 08 as one of my three. They won enough. And they won more recently than the Bruins did. I'll take the Bruins in 11, the Sox in 04, and the Pats in 16.
As 86 my three year curse broken. Yep.
Of those banners. Yep. Yeah, those are my
absolutely.
Three favorite ones.
Jim, so, what's yours? Ask Superfan Jim.
Jim.
01 Patriots was the first championship of my, like, the Celtics had won when I was a little kid, but I didn't really remember them. 86 I kind of remembered, but so that was a 15-year gap. So that 01 season, that was the first championship. And it was the Patriots, which were higher on my list than anybody else. And then 04 Red Sox, you have to do that one. And after that, I think it's tough. I think I'm with Beadle. I think it might have been the Celtics 08.
Which, again, I would ultimately probably overrule. But that Celtics in 08, that team was a wagon. Oh, my God, that team was fun. That they just beat the bag out of everybody.
I see Lanny sitting in the background in the
studio. Yeah, what's the director of sports Dorchester. Communications for the afternoon show say?
I know what Lanny's are. Lanny's are 04 Sox, 07 yep. Sox, 13 Sox.
His That's are it. 01 Pats, 01, 04 Sox, just like me. And he goes with the 03 Patriots, that team that went through
what?
McNair and Ew. Manning after they tied for the MVP
Ooh.
That year.
Ooh. I mean, that's a great what? Team. Surprising pick, but Ew. It's a great team. That team was awesome,
Did
as
Manning
was the 04 team.
I am very surprised at that. What about T-Bone? T-Bone has to have the Bruins in there.
Don't know.
Probably
know.
Puts them at number one.
I put the hockey team.
No, I say, what else, I say what else 01 Pats, 04 Sox, and then I think 07 Sox. I thought that was a great team to watch.
Oh, man, 07 no. is the no. team that gets forgotten by
no.
everybody.
No. I was saying to Lanny in here, I've been watching the 2011 Stanley Cup, and I think this year's Bruins team would kick that Bruins team's ass. I don't really.
Ooh. Shots fired.
Well, different style, right? I mean, the game's being played sort of a different way now. That 07 Red Sox team, they were sort of boring, weren't they? But they were a hell of a team.
Who was it? Was Lester, Beckett?
They won nearly 100 games that year. And Beckett, that was a big Beckett year.
Beckett
carried
Lowell,
them in the playoffs. Lowell, he was great.
Mike Lowell was MVP, right?
That was the first. Was that the first Daisuke year? When did Daisuke get here? That may have been the good Daisuke year.
Daisuke was 07. That was his first year.
Yeah, his first year. He was good that year, wasn't
he? 18-3 or something?
He had a decent record, if I remember correctly.
What was his worst game? Rockets?
Beckett was awesome that year, though. Beckett was a 20-game winner that year. And
Beckett was money in the playoffs, too.
Yes, he was great in the playoffs. That was when they came back against Cleveland, and J.D. Drew hit the grand slam at Fenway. And, well, it was a good team. That's when they absolutely dismantled the Rockies when they got there, too.
Yeah, and the comeback is a good part of it. And for that reason, I can't believe anybody doesn't want the Bruins on their list. You had to come down.
This city went nuts.
Being down
this city went crazy.
In three different series. You were down 0-2 to Vancouver. There's no way. There wasn't one person, other than me, who said, it's done. It's done. It's not like being down 0-2 to Lightning or Montreal. Please, it's all over. It's all
great
over.
Parade. It was 100 degrees. It was awesome. Everything about that run
was
awesome.
The entire run was fantastic.
We're going to pair Seidenberg with Chara on the plane from Montreal. Now, oh, man. Yeah. And, yeah. Bruins are in there. Bruins are in the top three.
You brought Thornton back in to keep everybody honest. Not that he necessarily won or lost anything for you, but you changed the dynamic. You're dumping the water from the garden onto the ice,
right?
In Vancouver for games. Oh, my God.
There's too many,
so
too many role players. Yep, Thomas, Recchi, all those guys. Hell yeah.
So good.
Let's take a time out for
right.
this.
Horton taking the water, Artie. You're great. Awesome.
We'll certainly get back into this, but
we will
talk to Michael McCann coming up next.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand here at 120 on this Thursday. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in a legal analyst and writer for Sports Illustrated. Joining us once again on the show, very happy to have him with us. It is Michael McCann. And Jim, if you could just get him up on the board there. I can't seem to put him up. Michael, how are you? Great to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you as well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for taking time, Mike.
We were talking about your story earlier this week about the legal hurdles of bringing back sports. And we've obviously spent a lot of time as a sports radio station talking about the possibilities of bringing back sports and how we all want that to be the case at some point. In your mind, when you were writing about it this week, what do you see right now is, from a legal perspective, the biggest problem out of all the issues that might exist for getting players back and getting games going again?
I think the biggest problem is going to be gathering restrictions, where different states and cities have limited the number of people that can get together for events. And if this pandemic plays out in a way that is sort of erratic, where maybe it's bad for a month and then maybe it's worse again several months later, it creates a lot of unpredictability. And we know that a number of communities in Massachusetts, for example, there could not be a Patriots, Red Sox, Bruins, or Celtics game right now, even if there aren't spectators there. Now, that could change, and hopefully it does, but Massachusetts isn't unique. And to have a schedule where teams are going across the country to play games, especially if this virus is going to affect communities at different times, that's going to make it hard to have things return to the way they were. Now, that doesn't mean they can't do something else. Maybe, and as has been discussed, have them play in one facility, things like that. But that's a very different arrangement than what we're used to. So that would be the biggest issue. The second, I think, would be figuring out the money. And that's going to involve the union and the league getting together to figure out how revenue is shared, who suffers the loss. And then there's networks and sponsors that have a voice in this too. So I think the money stuff is complicated but can be worked out. The real issue is going to be the public health component.
Mike, do you agree that the NBA and the NFL are going to want to get back as soon as possible based on the type of money with the TV money, when you just strictly talk about TV money?
Yeah, so I definitely think they want to get back as soon as possible with the caution that if they go back too early and some player or referee has, right, it could be a disaster, right? Because then it would be, well, we started too early. Then they're going to have to postpone things even further back. So they have to do it in a way that the testing is good enough, certain enough, and it's done in a way that sort of provides certainty that the virus won't spread. Because if that happens, you know, the big story is going to be they rushed two back. They're making the situation worse for everyone. So I definitely think they want to get back as soon as possible. And look, we all want sports to come back, right? It's,
sure.
It's part of our jobs. It's just part of our livelihood, but they have to do it in a way that's not going to cause more harm than good.
We're talking to Michael McCann. Do the leagues have any responsibility when it comes to keeping the players, I guess, healthy, if that's the way to put it? Let's say, as you said, it could be a disaster if they come back and someone does end up having it and getting ill or seriously ill. Would anyone be able to come back to the league and say, you know, this is your fault? You caused this. You brought us back too soon.
So I think that could happen, but I think the league is going to preempt that by making sure that whatever is the arrangement the union has signed off on, just to prevent that risk that if they come back, and they will obviously at some point, and God forbid somebody has it and spreads it, that whatever arrangement the union and the league come up with ensure that the league isn't going to be sued or the team isn't going to be sued, that they accept that as a risk of coming back.
You mentioned television contracts as well and some of the TV money and sponsorship dollars. Do any of the TV partners have a right to say, you know, hey, you're not playing your games. We're out. You know, we're not paying you, or we're going to even maybe worse than that, say we're done with our deal. Is there any sort of way to cancel things on the league from their TV partners? And would that maybe be a one of the pressures the league feels to get back out there and play?
I definitely think it's a pressure. A lot of these contracts have force majeure clauses, which basically say if there's some act of God, some pandemic, terrorist attack, something really awful and disruptive and unpredictable and out of the control of all the parties, that parties have an opportunity to exit the contract or seek offsets from it. Similarly, there's usually an impossibility clause which says if the circumstances are such that games can't be played and the contracts can't be satisfied, the other side has to give up money. Now, whether they're going to use those clauses, whether there's mandatory arbitration in those clauses where it doesn't go to court but goes to arbitration or mediation, yeah, that remains to be seen. But I think television networks are going to be cautious because they don't want to lose the relationship and they don't want to see their rival networks enter the story and take a TV contract away. But if this goes on a while, they're going to lose a fortune and they're expecting that revenue. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think if this goes on a while, the TV networks are going to consider action and they probably will have the right to do so under the contracts.
What do you think is the first sport that's going to be back, Mike? You personally?
I'm going to say baseball, if I had to guess.
Really?
I think baseball, there's less proximity between the players. Obviously, there's some. I mean, when somebody slides into home plate. But I think there's a little bit more physical separation between the players. And also, I think there's a sign that they're kind of working well together because the league and the players have signed an agreement for whatever the 2020 season is going to be. It seems like they're moving at a faster clip than the other leagues. I think the NBA really is pushing hard to get back, so maybe we'll see the NBA. But my guess is, based on what we know now, Major League Baseball.
Okay.
We're talking with Michael McCann on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline about some of the legal hurdles of getting back. If we could just rewind for a second, you had said that some of the group gathering restrictions in local places, whether it be state rules or municipalities that have those rules, those might still exist. If they exist in some places and not others, and I know that it had been mentioned before that Major League Baseball players had sort of bargained already that they weren't going to be playing where there are restrictions. Do you think that everyone will be eager to just sort of pick up and go to a place where they can get away with it, so to speak, sort of like what we're seeing with UFC going to some tribal lands in California to avoid the rules? It could be for baseball or for any other sport, just moving to a different state. Do you see that as one of their ways around it?
Yeah, at least initially, that would be one way around it, to play in some venue that's in a location that hasn't imposed a gathering restriction. Or the gathering restriction wouldn't be a problem in terms of having a game without spectators. That would seem like a sensible first approach, but we're going to see people object. Some players are going to say, are they going to leave their families for 4 months? I mean, how does the quarantine part of that work? Do they play a whole season? Do they try it for a month? There are a lot of complications to that.
What if the one superstar on that team says, I'm not doing it?
Yeah. Then I think it collapses. So I think that's the big problem, right? All it takes is one.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a miracle to get everybody on the same page with this thing. And do you think you're going to quarantine people, and you're not going to be able to see your family for 4 months? Too many people have too many things going on within, personal issues within their family to say, I'm not going to be available for 4 months. I'd find that hard to believe.
Yeah. And some of those, like you said, the superstar, that's the person that can kind of
LeBron,
be not paid. Right, like not being paid to him is one thing. For the guy who's just barely on the roster, it's a different consideration.
All right, Michael McCann, you can read him in Sports Illustrated, also an attorney and director of the Sports and Entertainment Law Institute at the University of New Hampshire. Michael, always appreciate talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on. Talk to you soon.
All right, Michael McCann with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. So the TV partners could sort of bail on the leagues if they really wanted to push the envelope. I doubt they would, but
too much to lose.
Yeah, they want to preserve the long term relationship.
Yeah, and they got people. And I've talked to some of the broadcasters that are jockeying for Olympics and exchanging Super Bowls. We're trying to plan Super Bowls out. We don't want to lose those damn Olympics, so we'll give you the Super Bowl this year. Talking NBC, CBS type stuff. You don't want to pull out on a league. And I think that's bad karma for you, for your network. There'd be somebody to jump right back in, to secure a Super Bowl, to secure Monday Night Football, Sunday night, whatever it is.
Yeah, but they could stop paying them if there's lack of games. They don't have to pay.
But, you know what I'm saying? Eventually it's going to come back.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, hey, they departed. We're in, man. Here's our money. Take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone else swoops in and says, hey, we got cash.
It's like
we're
season
ready
tickets.
To go.
You don't want tickets? Fine. We got a wait list. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the conversation on the banners and championships.
Sure.
If you've got some thoughts on that, 617-779-0985.
I'm disqualified. Jim said I'm disqualified because I didn't have the 01 Pats in. So I'm automatically out of the conversation.
Zoe's been DQ'd by Jim. That's what happened here.
Yeah.
DQ'd.
Were you too close to playing at that point where you couldn't appreciate it? I'm asking a serious question.
You beat a really nice finesse team. I like the Rock.
So is it most impressive or what means the most?
Kind of both.
We need to establish the parameters. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
What's your three biggest ones? Three biggest ones I've witnessed since I've been here. Those.
I think the fun is that there were no parameters. Just go. Pick
them.
What do you got?
Thank you.
I like that we also have differing opinions on it.
Yeah.
Though.
You know what? It's like the fast food. You know what? Give me Chick-fil-A, Popeyes, and Wendy's. I'm good.
We're going to start doing a lot of these tomorrow. I could feel this was going to happen on this show.
Right.
Rapid fire.
We could do candy bars.
Rapid fire pick threes.
Yep.
Right.
Snickers, Twix, Reese's.
Jim, how many of these do you think we could do tomorrow in a show?
How many can we do or how many should we do?
How many should we do? Like 10?
I don't know. One hour, maybe?
No. I want rapid fire. Rapid, instant reaction. That's the whole point of it.
We need a Sports Hub one.
Oh, yeah, I'm working on that.
All right, we'll get back to it after headlines. Here's Hardy.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hardy, you said you wanted parameters on this?
I think we should establish something, yeah.
Yeah.
And I have an idea, but let me hear yours.
No, I don't have one. I kind of
like not having them. Just say, let's react.
Okay, so for the three banners that you want to keep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You can only keep three. Keep three that you will be able to talk about with other people for the rest of your life. Everything else might be taken away, but you'll be able to talk about these three. All right. So that's what I suggest.
I'm sticking with mine. I'm sticking with the three I picked.
Sticking with mine, too.
The story of the 2001 Patriots, the comeback over the Falcons, and the Red Sox in 2004. I like it. I could easily talk about all three of those.
Yeah, I can talk repeatedly. I can talk about the 2004 Red Sox. I can talk about the 11 Bruins, the Bruins and 11, and I can talk about the 16 Patriots with the Super Bowl in Houston against Atlanta.
Yep. Yeah, see, I love that. I love that 14. It was the beginning of the Flategate. You hit the ground running in Arizona. Oh, Kensel and all those guys, we're watching your footballs now. What are you getting at Super Bowl? He threw freaking dimes in that second half. It was him and Vereen. They never ran the ball in the second half against Seattle. That was a rock fight. The hitting, the broken arms, the goal line stops. Malcolm Butler, Revis. You got Sherman go 2-4, 2-4. The catch off the carom. Everything you overcame at the end of that was a hell of a run. And that began the Flategate.
Yeah, in terms of ones that you talk, I understand where, people.
0-1 was more shock for me. You know what I mean? Wow, they shocked the world. Okay.
Is that the one you want to be able to talk about for the rest of your life, though?
No. I'd go 04 Red Sox, 11 Bruins, and then that, the 14 Pats. Looking at them now, like, I could talk about the Atlanta comeback, but I think Atlanta was a dog. I didn't respect Atlanta. Stupid quarterback, stupid coach, stupid offensive coordinator. How'd he do in a Super Bowl this year?
Well, wow, I didn't know you didn't have you had all these feelings about that win.
It was a great win, don't get me wrong. Enjoyed calling it, loved it. But you beat Atlanta.
Okay.
You beat the Legion of Boom. You know, they were coming off a championship. What the hell did Atlanta do prior to that? Atlanta's changed their uniforms how many times this decade? Or the last two decades? Seven?
A bunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've changed them quite a few times.
Yeah. Pete had that team. Pete had that team.
Talk about
offense,
the teams
defense forever. Yeah.
To be able to talk. What do you got on the 04 Red Sox? You like talking about them, Zoe?
Oh, God.
I'd be happy to talk about that team.
Just the shilling aspect of it. Everything. You know, I'm going there to break an 86-year-old curse. Whatever you think of shilling now. But, I mean, the bloody sock. You know, down 3-0. I remember being, I think I was at Appalachian State when I was on that road trip calling games. When I remember seeing them down like 19 zip to the Red Sox, and A-Rod hit one off the wall, and they were denting the wall, and they were hitting home runs. I'm like, this team's never coming back. And then they're going to have a shot. They're going to sit around. Don't let us win one. Was that really it? Was that it, Kevin Millar? Yeah, and then they won one. Then they won three. And just, that was the big one for me. That was the first big one for me. Patriots one was shock. You know, that was like, okay, 14-point dog, you shocked the world in that one. You know, no one saw that one coming.
But in order
Red Sox, you beat the freaking Yankees, and then you won the World Series. You know?
But that's it. So in order to
you
to,
went through the Yankees.
With our parameters here, in order to be able to talk about it,
it's the
you
road,
have to talk
man.
About everything, the road, because
the road.
Is it just the series? No,
go back
I don't
to the year before.
I don't
want to
talk about the
04 down.
World Series. I want to talk about the 04 ALCS.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The part of it that I want to be able to talk
sure.
about.
Sure.
So 01 Patriots, you could talk about the snowball and those kicks, followed by Brady getting hurt, Bledsoe coming in the AFC Championship game,
right.
followed by a great Super Bowl. That's the road. After 9/11.
I think it's got, you know, the fact that
they were
underdogs, and they started the year with a quarterback who nearly died from a hit he took on the field to being replaced by a second-year guy
still
who was drafted 199 overall. You know, it's just, I don't know. I feel
the
like
beginning
that's a pretty
of the Brady
good
story
run, in 01.
Sure. The start of the Brady run, yeah.
You know, their last loss of the season took place at home against the team they would eventually beat in the Super Bowl.
A team said, I don't want to see them again. Yeah.
And they were 500 at that point.
Payphone hit.
They were a 500 team.
Yeah.
I think
great
it
run.
Comes.
Great run.
Yeah. Excellent. A lot of fun. Very memorable. Let's go to Tyron in Tennessee. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you again.
How you doing?
Doing good. Thank y'all for continuing to provide coverage and give us a breath of fresh air and a distraction from this, you know, virus and everything. But going forward, I just want to, I understand, you know, people bringing up suggestions about this coming up year for the New England Patriots, and I get that. I just think this is going to be a bad football team. I think this year coming up, there's no escape goat for Belichick and the Patriots. I just don't believe there is. They got the toughest schedule in football. And whether they believe Stidham's ready, some people think he needs another year, depending on which reports you believe are here. I just think this year they're going to be a bad football team. I don't think Belichick is going to have to tank or have to justify taking. I just think they're going to be a bad team. I mean, I look at their schedule, and at best to me, they're going 5-11 at best.
Oh, wow. They're a 5-win team now, according to Tyrone.
I want to go back to 14,
Beatles. Wins.
That, hey, down twice 14. To Baltimore, divisional round.
Oh, okay.
Lateral. The Colts taking the ball. Kensel grabbing the sideline attendant. We got your ass now.
Brian sent us an email. It's a pretty good idea.
11.
He says, here's an idea. If you could switch two Super Bowls for any other 2 years, what would you switch? For example, he would switch.
Now we're playing more parameter games.
Yeah, I know. It's fun. It's a fun little game he suggested here.
What are we doing
right now? He wants to. He said, for example, you can swap two that you won for any that you didn't win or didn't even get there. He said, for example, he would swap out the 03 banner to get the one in 2007 for obvious reasons. He said, I would also switch the one in 2018 to 2015 because he liked the team that year and would have liked to be the ones to crush the Panthers. I would need to swap out two, I think so, to get one in 06 and 07.
06, you're up 18 on the Colts in their building, and you blew it. Oh, you had to face Rex Grossman. That would have been a bad Super Bowl, though. That would have been a terrible Super Bowl. Really? I'm going to sit here and pick one of my three banners the year you beat Rex Grossman.
They could have had five in a period. Like, imagine having that. Imagine having the three they won plus 06 plus 07. That would have been complete, and it was possible. It was within reach, man. That was completely within reach, and we all wanted that. So I would consider swapping out two, but under those circumstances, I couldn't swap out any of the early ones.
What are they doing at Detroit right now?
So I'd have to swap out the LA one, swap out the Rams one, and then it would be, ooh, the comeback over Atlanta or the Seattle one. Which one of those would you give up? I know your answer.
Yeah, you know mine. I'm sticking with the Seattle one.
But then the parameters have changed, Hardy, because you know how it would be. Like, when did you want to win the sixth? Did you want to wait as long as possible? Or did... Oh, it's so hard.
I remember how hot it was for that Bruins parade. I remember how the snowstorm for the Patriots parade in 14. Just the delay of it. And just everything was great. Everything was great about those parades. Red Sox won. Yankees are golfing.
Harry's in Weymouth. Harry.
Hey, by the way.
Harry.
Hey. What's up?
Hey.
I just want to say Hardy is absolutely killing it the last couple weeks. And Zoe, you're on your way out, dude. Hate to say it. But,
where am I going?
Where's he going?
Where am I going? Who's this?
I don't know.
Harry.
Probably your bedroom.
Pardon me?
Oh, God.
Call back, Harry.
That's a good call.
Tell me where I'm going.
That's a good call. Really good call.
We don't know.
I don't know. I'd like to know.
That's a big market. That's a big market tease.
Wife asked me today, "Hey, what do you do later?" I said, "I don't know. Where are we going? I don't know where I'm going."
Wait, who asked you that?
The wife. Like, what do you do later? I think, I don't know. What are we gonna do for dinner?
I don't know. I gotta, like that.
I'm worried about. I gotta get out there, clean the pool filters out.
You still talk as if you have places to go or could go places. Like
what do you guys? What are you guys doing this afternoon?
Haven't you guys run out of stuff to make for dinner?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's been a lot of repetition. Sure.
I tell you what, highly underrated. You could buy those packs of ribs at any of the stores. You know, the Lloyd's, they're like pre-packed. And you get them 2-for-1. You get a bunch of those. Throw those in a crock pot with all the you just got to squeeze the bag to get all the sauce out of it. Put it in the crock pot and a can of Coke. Pour it in there, put that thing on high, let that sit a couple hours. Unfreaking believable. Pretty good.
The Coca-Cola marinade.
Coca-Cola, dude. But some of the good rib joints have Coca-Cola as a base with the brown sugar and the ketchup and hot sauce.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Pepper, too. That's another
good
one.
Sure, absolutely, Hardy. Coffee. You can pour a cup of coffee, cold coffee in there with it.
See, all right, we haven't heard of before. Today's, what's that, Hardy? Sorry.
The coffee one, that doesn't appeal to me. But
I didn't think so either, but you can't taste coffee. It's not bad. What do I know? I'm on my way out. Hardy, you're doing a good job.
Today's takeaways coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Get your consultation going today. You're sitting at home, you could be dropping the weight. Get back to work in maybe a month, hopefully. People are like, wow, look at all that weight you lost. 6 locations. They will coach you up online virtually right there through your computer, your phone, your iPad, you name it, your Android. Awaken180weightloss.com. See all the details.
All right. We have little to get to in the takeaways today, but one thing we did play today, and we typically have stayed away from playing things from this individual for obvious reasons, but this is from O.J. Simpson's Twitter account. He's been very active on Twitter over the last, I don't know, year or so, I'd say.
Yep.
And he likes to post videos of himself.
Eating at steakhouses, golf joints, and friends of his that own bars. Yes, he does.
Yeah, so he goes on Twitter, and that's how he likes to communicate. He likes to post videos of himself talking about whatever the news of the day would be. And he weighs in on golf courses being closed in Nevada, I believe, where he is, right? So we played it earlier while Hardy and I were bickering at each other about golf courses. And I don't know what his take was. And Hardy, did you think he was in or out? I can't remember, but...
Well, he's got multiple messages in this thing, and that's the that's the great part about OJ is...
He was out, but then back in, yeah.
So he's hard to categorize, you know, all-time great running back, actor, double murderer. And that's, you know, why what his message is oftentimes multi-tiered.
It's true, because it's like that's why we don't even like the idea of playing his stuff. But this one, I think we should have a second listen, Hardy, and maybe try and figure out if he is for or against the closure of the golf course.
Truly. Well, it's got a bit of unfortunate news for us golfers. The governor, Sisolak, has just closed all the golf courses here in Nevada, along with some other measures. And, I thought the golfers were doing a pretty good job on the social distancing, you know, with the one cart and all of that. But, you know, this is a serious situation, and he's our elected official, and I think that's why we elected him, to make these difficult decisions. So as unfortunate as this is for some of us golfers, you know, I play with a lot of different guys. One of the groups is an older group where three of the guys are over 80 and two of them have had strokes. And, you know, they don't have dogs to walk, and they couldn't if they wanted to. Their only exercise is golf. So, unfortunately, they won't be able to play golf. So I just hope they find other ways to get outdoors and get some exercise. But this is serious. People are losing their lives. We elected these officials to make these tough decisions, and I'm sure this was a tough decision. This, along with the other measures that he's brought into play today to help with this social distancing. All I can say is stay healthy, stay safe, and let's do whatever we have to do to help get rid of this virus. Stay healthy, stay safe. Take care.
I miss the age of those guys.
I'm not
that
sure
he plays
what
with.
Side he's on.
If anyone has anything more inspiring to say for the rest of the day, speak now. For me, I will hold my peace, because I'm ready to run through a wall for that guy. You know,
I could imagine playing one hole with three guys in their 80s, let alone 18.
We're back at it tomorrow at 10 a.m. Felger and Maz coming
Where's
your way
my ball?
Next. Have a great afternoon. Hang in there. Stay safe.
Hang in there. Stay safe, people. That's right. Stay positive.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.